Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And we're going to be talking about you. We're going to be talking about how, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going to be going through or are going through right at the moment, whether it's looking for a job or trying to reach that level of success that is so significant for you, we're going to be showing you how it's not just who you know. That's right. Sometimes you'll hear people say, it's all in who you know. It's not about you or your talents. It's who you know. Well, we're going to be taking a different approach with this. Why? Because we've got a wonderful guest today, Tommy Spaulding. And Tommy's going to be sharing some tips with us that can empower us as people, as professionals, on a personal level. And also, this is great for young people that are just starting out because it gives them solid, concrete information that is going to enable them to reach their particular objectives for success. Tommy Spaulding, welcome to the show.
Great to be on the show, Donna.
Well, I found, Tommy, that my yellow highlighter, which I'm notorious for using with books, was rather active with yours. Now, I want to let people know that you founded Leaders Challenge, which is the largest high school civic and leadership program in Colorado, and you have been the CEO of Up with People, which is known by many to be one of the largest leadership nonprofit organizations in the world. Now, you founded your own company, Spaulding, and this is a consulting firm. You live in Colorado. Tommy, this is a topic that so many people, we have gotten the rah-rah treatment throughout the years that it's all in the networking, it's all in the connections that you have. And goodness, I know in media, that is so often true, but so many times you get very disappointed. What was the pivotal series of experiences that you had that enabled you to gain a perspective that you're so willing to share with others?
Well, when I was a young boy, my dad gave me a book called Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I must have read that book with my father 50 times before I got to eighth grade. And that book really launched my passion towards networking and building relational skills and looking people in the eye and shaking their hand and speaking about their interests. But as I tracked my professional career the last 20 years, the relationships that I've built were more than just looking people in the eye and shaking their hand and speaking about their interests. It's really, really building genuine, lasting relationships. And those relationships have made me successful in my personal and professional life. So the book I wrote is really to teach people how to build those types of relationships. And more importantly, why should we build those relationships?
Well, that is very, very important, because there is an adage that has been passed along for generations that when you're climbing the pinnacle of success, be sure you treat the people kindly on your way up, because you may meet them on your way down. And I don't know of many people who've been successful that haven't climbed those mountains of success for a period of time, and then all of a sudden they find that they have to climb off the top of the mountain, whether it's willingly or unwillingly done, and they find themselves in the valley below, and then they've got a new mountain to climb. Mental, physical, spiritual, physical, it doesn't make any difference. Tommy, for you, you say that relationship building is a gift with you. How did you recognize it?
Well, when I was a little kid, I had a hard time reading, and I failed a lot of subjects, and I went to summer school, you know, pretty much all through high school, and even my own guidance counselor told me that college wasn't for me because my grades were so poor. But at a young age, I really learned the importance of building relationships. And in seventh grade, eighth grade, even high school and college, I was able to build, you know, lasting relationships with my classmates and my teachers and professors. And I built those relationships because it wasn't just about me. I learned at a very early age, Donna, that if you build relationships that are about serving you, you're going to have shallow relationships. If you build relationships that are about serving others, you're going to have lasting and genuine relationships. And here's the rub. If you take that into business and you build, you know, relationships with your customers and your clients and your employees that are not just transactional, but that are transformational. If you really know your customers really deeply, you know who they are, you know your employees, you don't just treat them transactionally, they're going to work harder for you and they're going to be lasting customers.
Now, you were with Up With People. Tell us about how you had to raise $8,000 and you didn't have one penny of it to begin with. What was it you did and when did this occur in your life?
My senior year in high school, I applied to a bunch of colleges. I got rejected to pretty much all of them, so I wasn't college bound because of my grades. But then a group called Up With People came to my high school my senior year and did it for a show, and I went to the show with my family. And after the show, I interviewed and was accepted, and it was going to travel to other people, but there was a price tag of $8,000, and 23 years ago, that's about, I don't know, $25,000, $30,000 today.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have much money. My parents were school teachers. So I had to raise the money, and Up With People sent me this book about how to build relationships with people in your community and raise money. So we had a spaghetti dinner and a pancake breakfast, and we had a raffle, and we just did all these different fundraisers. But if I look back at the $8,000 that I raised, it was all the people that I built genuine relationships with in my town for the past 15, 20 years. Those are the people that really helped me and supported me to go to Up With People.
You ended up becoming the CEO of Up With People, and someone might say, hey, wait a minute, why are you giving this guy the positioning when he doesn't even have a college degree here? What's the deal?
Well, I actually eventually did go to college and go to business school, so I got that out of the way. But, you know, a lot of people question that because I became the CEO of Up People when I was 35 years old, and I was the youngest CEO in the history of the organization. But I think what really got me the job was my love for the organization, but I think I had passion, and I was able to connect with people. And when you run a nonprofit, you got to raise tens of millions of dollars, and you don't raise money just by sending people letters and saying, can you give me money? You got to communicate. You got to share your passion. And I think that's what got me the job.
You talk about, and I agree with this 100%, successful organizations are nothing more than a collection of the people within them. Why do you think we lose sight of that? Why do we think when we're talking about an organization, we put it off like it's something up on a pedestal and we forget, good, bad, or indifferent, the only reason they exist is because of the people that are running them and participating and making them be what they are. Why do you think we have such a disassociation?
You know, just 2 days ago, Gary Kelly, who's the CEO and chairman and president of Southwest Airlines, was in Denver for a fundraiser, and I got the honor to have lunch with him. And I just asked him that exact question, and I wrote about Southwest in my book, because Southwest Airlines is one of the only companies in the world that when you look at the organizational chart, the employees, Donna, not the shareholders, not the executives, the employees are the top of the food chain. You walk into Southwest, you know, headquarters in Dallas, there's not pictures of board members or pictures of their air flight. There are pictures of their employees. Because Mr. Kelly says if you treat your employees well, they're going to treat your customers well. And if your customers are happy, you're making money. And if you're making money, the shareholders are happy. And most organizations don't get that. But when you really study about organizational cultures and how corporations came to be, this country was built and corporations were built to serve others. It was about providing a service, and making money came second. But I think in the last 50 years, America got greedy, and it became all about shareholder value and all about money. And money's important, and return on investment is important, but we killed all the things on the side of the road. And I think that employees are so and so important, and employee turnover is at a rampant high. And customers and clients, you know, they'll walk to the next competitor if they'll have a relationship. So I think the good thing about what's happening in the economy, Donna, it's really teaching us that relationships are so important. Quality, price is so important, but relationships are the key to have lifelong customers and clients and lifelong employees.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wish more people in the political arena would wake up and grow up, because we sure have got a lack of that mentality. And I think that they probably, every one of them, I don't care what party they belong to, need to be able to recognize their positions of responsibility. You bring up something that I think is very good. That's 5 minutes of my platform on my opinions.
But you know, Donna, before you ask the question, I just got to say, I think you're dead right. I mean, when you look at our country, when it was founded 200 years ago, democracy was founded on these great values. Mm-hmm. And the two-party systems, they work together. And people, they represented their country. And when they served their country as a senator or congressman, it was an honor. It was a privilege. I mean, I live in Colorado, and just the campaign ads the last 3 weeks, you want to throw up. It's
right.
Just, we've come so far away from a politician really having authentic relationships with who? Their constituents. They lost that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have lost it. So as I said, I decided I was going to give my 5 seconds worth of opinion there, because what you have in this book really is something I think that is so significant. Personal accountability, personal responsibility, but understanding integrity, the motivation to be able to be supportive of the right things in the right way so that we empower people. Now, you have a bit of information in your book that I found extremely interesting. And it's a 2007 Gallup Management Journal survey, and I'm going to quote it right out of your book. This survey estimated that actively disengaged workers, and I'll repeat that, actively disengaged workers, cost the United States economy about $382 billion. And I know it's probably double or triple that today. About 24.7 million workers 18 years of age and older, which is about 18% of the workforce, fall into this category. They aren't just unhappy, but they're acting out their unhappiness. Another 56% are considered not engaged, meaning they're putting in time at work but without energy or passion. And only 26% of workers are fully engaged in their work, according to this survey. Now, that's 2007. I'd be interested in seeing what they have for 2010, because it is so important that the rhetoric be looked at with clarity, and that the average individual, along with the people that are in the positions of responsibility and authority with businesses, really have an honesty about who they are and what they're doing. And even if you're slinging hamburgers at some hash a house a joint, who cares?
Do it
with the best you've got. And that is being present right here, right now. Stop whining. Stop playing. Stop being the victim. Be responsible. Address that.
Well, you really hit a nail on the head when you quoted that 25% of the workforce is disengaged. And I think I'd like to kind of start, you know, answer that question with a quick story. You know, employees, you know, they don't come to work just to make money. If you surveyed any employee in America, they come to work, and money is always the top five, but it's not one, two, or three. You know what number one is? They want to feel valued.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel like they're making a contribution. They want to feel recognized. And I have a friend in Colorado that was the number two at a pretty predominant bank. And he was aligned to become number one. He worked there for about 15 years. And recently, he left that bank to become president of a much smaller bank. And I remember I took him to lunch, and I said, why did you leave? You were the heir apparent to being the CEO of a huge bank here, and you left to run a smaller bank. And he said, not only did I do that, but I took a 25% pay cut. I said, you took a 25% pay cut in this economy? Are you crazy? And here's what he said, Donna. He said, I worked at this other bank for 15 years. I was the number two guy. I spent hours and hours in plane trips with my CEO and president and my boss. And never once did he ever take me to lunch or take me to dinner or play golf with me. I mean, I think he knows my wife's name, but he doesn't know my kid's name. He doesn't know my interests. He doesn't know my passions. 15 years I've been working for this man, and I don't know him any more today than I did 15 years ago. He took no interest in who I am. Let me tell you a story. About a week ago, and he just started this new job as president of a smaller bank. The chairman of this bank took the 17 local presidents to his mountain home up in Steamboat Springs in Colorado. And he started a 3-day, you know, strategic planning conference, you know, bringing out a glass of wine and having dinner. And at the end of dinner, he toasted a glass of wine to, you know, to the new seat, the new president of the company. And he says, before we get into the strategic session, let's do a little exercise. I'd like everyone around the table to spend a few minutes and talk about, you know, something in our lives that defined us, you know, a challenge, an obstacle in our life that really helped define us. And let me start. So the chairman then pulls out a picture of his wife and his child, his about 6-year-old daughter, and then he starts crying. And he says, this is not my wife. This is my ex-wife. And this is my daughter who hasn't talked to me in 2 years because I put this bank first. And I worked so hard that I lost sight on what's really important is my family. And I'll always regret that. And he just was so vulnerable, the chairman of this company. And my friend, who was just new to this company, was so in awe that his leader was so vulnerable. And then he watched everyone around the table get vulnerable and share. And I share that with you, Donna, because people want to work for people that are transparent, that are authentic, that are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this old boss, he ran that company perfectly. For 15 years, he didn't take an interest of his own employees, and that's why the employees are not engaged, because their bosses aren't taking an interest beyond the bottom line of the company. And if you know your employees, they're going to fight for you, they're going to work for you. But most people treat employee management as a transactional job, not a transformational job.
That brings up a point, and I love the title of this chapter, Don't Shoot the Moose. And being someone that Alaska has been a very significant part of my life, I really like moose. Anyway, I liked what you said in here. You said never try to fake an interest in things just to try to meet people you think might be valuable to your career. I'm telling you, that is something that is so meaningful. And yet you have people that are taught in college, by golly, if you want to be like Trump, you got to meet him, you got to do this, you got to do that. I am so weary of these so-called reality shows and other things that are so demeaning to communication between people that are sincere and that's real. And your statement in this chapter, you have to be true to yourself. This is so important. And just the story you have shared about your friend who was willing to step away from what someone else's observation like you made, wow, you've got this. You're sitting at the top of the mountain. And he's saying, I don't think I want to be up at the top of this mountain. It's very lonely. It's very cold. And I think I'm going to end up freezing to death. And I just don't think I want to be there. So he goes down into his own valley to start a new journey. That took courage, and it took tremendous integrity. And I think he made the right choice.
Absolutely. I love that story about Don't Shoot the Moose. And it's a story that when I moved to Colorado, I was new to the Midwest, and all my friends had cabin boots, and they're hunting and fishing and going moose hunting and duck hunting, and I said, if I got to network in this community and I got to meet people, I guess I got to start picking up skeet shooting and duck hunting and moose hunting. And I tried it once and I just hated it. I'm just not much of a hunter. And I realized that I got to be authentic and find my own passions and interests, and you can't fake other interests and passions just to get to know people.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Now, you bring out a point in your book that I know some of my listeners who are building their own businesses, they are in love with something that is very meaningful to them. They might be an artist. They might be someone that has an area of professional expertise, and they say, I know my niche. You make a comment in your book to develop a circle of key advisors. This is something that Napoleon Hill often called a mastermind group, and I would ask you, how would you advise my listeners to develop that circle of key advisors? How many would you recommend? 1, 3, 10, 15, 20? What would you say to my listeners?
Well, every single leader in this world, every single leader has a key advisor, whether you call them personal advisors, board of directors, kitchen cabinet, as Ronald Reagan called them. But you need to surround yourself with mentors. And I kind of broke my categories into specific categories of faith and religion, or personal health, or family, business and professional. development. In each one of those areas, I have three or four people that are mentors, the people that I look up to, that maybe are pastors in my church, or people that are CEOs of companies that run companies very well, or people that are very disciplined with their health or their eating habits. And I spend time with them. I must have maybe 15 people on this advisory committee. I call it the fifth floor all-star team. And these friendships, these relationships you have, you could be absolutely, completely naked in front of, not physically, but just totally, you can share anything with. They know you. They know your ins or out. And their job is not to tell you what you want to hear. Their job is to tell you what you need to hear. And most of us surround ourselves with yes people because most of us are insecure. And we hire people that tell us what we want to hear and make us feel good. I've reached greatness not because I hung around with good people. I've reached greatness because I'll hang around with great people that are better than me. I like to play golf, and I play golf with people that are better than me. When I play golf with people that are better than me, I perform better. So this advisory team has to be that kind of level, and it has to go both ways. It has to be able to help them and advance them. It can't just be about them serving you. It has to be about you serving them as well.
I agree. Now, I love the story about you meeting your wife. Would you share that with my audience?
About 8 years ago, I was speaking at a homeless shelter in Denver. It's called The Gathering Place. It's a day shelter for women. And I was a keynote speaker at the event, and my wife was a volunteer, and I walked up to her at the front desk to get my name badge, and I had about a five-minute conversation with her, and I knew right away that I was in love because she was just so genuine and authentic and sweet. And I rolled over, went over to the bathroom to talk to my friend, and I said, hey, I'm going to marry that girl. He thought I was crazy, but he said, you probably should get her phone number first. And I probably asked her out 20 times before she said yes, but we finally got married about 6 years ago. We have three kids now.
Well, I'd say you did make a right choice, and you were persistent. Let's talk about making connections with people. You have a number of points, and I'm going to only touch on one because I know we're getting away with our time. It's just amazing how quickly it goes. But you say, when it comes to promotion, not to promote yourself. Now, I can tell you, I have heard this from so many people. If you don't toot your own horn, who else is going to toot it? You got to be out there. And a lot of people just say, I don't like to do that. So what do you say to people? How are you going to be able to promote your business or who you are without going, here I is, I'm coming through, folks, pay attention.
Yeah, when you say, don't toot your horn, I'm not saying just stay at home and don't go to work and don't tell anyone what you do. You got to have confidence. But replace that with working hard. If you work hard and provide a great service and a great product and just work hard and you're loyal to your customers and loyal to your employees, the word's going to get out. Word of mouth is much powerful than your own mouth. So I'm not saying don't toot your horn, but let the proof in your pudding. What I'd like you to do is put all your energy into building humble relationships with all your customers and clients. Humility goes a long way. I mean, you know the people that are very successful, Don, that love to talk about how great they are. I mean, let me just give an example. I'm on a board of directors with this company, and I think I sat next to this gentleman three or four times. And my wife and I even had dinner with him one time, and I knew that he ran a successful business. But I just found out after the fourth time meeting him that he was the heir to the Holiday Inn company, probably a billionaire. But I didn't know that. He didn't talk about it. He didn't just say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and my father founded Holiday Inn. I mean, it took me to peel back the onion over and over again. Because he doesn't brag. He's got this unbelievable humility. And I just spent some time with him last week in Memphis, and I met his employees, and I met the people that work with him, and I met the community. And this guy is absolutely genuine. He doesn't toot his horn, but guess what? I'm tooting his horn for him right now. Mm-hmm. When you build humble relationships and you're authentic and genuine humble, your work will be shouted out by the world, by others. And I'd much rather have other people shout out my great work than myself.
I think that holds true on so many levels. You say going beyond networking, the word networking has become in the minds of many people a very negative word. If you you've mentioned networking many times. They go, oh, my Lord, here we go again. And bingo, it's an automatic turnoff. What would you want to use instead of that word? Because it's not a bad word, because that's what we do every day, whether we're going to the bank or the grocery store, we're interacting with other people. And that is a networking when you're building relationships with people. So what do you mean by going beyond that? How else would we use a word to demonstrate what you want to emphasize here?
Well, the whole last part of my book is about this, and I'm not anti-networking. What I am anti is your intentions of networking. And most people that network, most people, they go into networking by finding people that can help them and help advance them. Who can I meet that can help advance my company? That's networking. If those are your intentions, then I'm against those intentions. If you build relationships and find people that not only can help you, but that you can help advance, I call this net giving. The greatest customers, the greatest donors, the greatest employees, the greatest people in my professional life I've met where there's mutual beneficial relationship, where I help promote them, I help advance them, I help connect them, I help lift them, I help make their business more successful, and in turn, they help me. And if you enter relationships with the thinking of a pro quo, it doesn't work. To build lasting, genuine relationships, you can't be just about networking. It has to be about net giving.
You have a paragraph in your business portion here on empathy. You say, no business will survive long if it can't make a profit. But no business deserves to survive at all if it can't make a positive difference in the lives of its employees, customers, clients, and community. And I believe for all of the outsourcing of jobs in the United States, that the American spirit, which I honor and respect a great deal, I do feel can turn things around just by paying attention to those things you have just mentioned. We can create products. We can create service. We can represent the finest and the best. But it does take a commitment to doing that, because I know for a fact that there are people around the world, I've talked to them, that say America represents freedom and independence and the opportunity to have a chance to be the best we can be. What would you say to my audience, and I know we're closing out here, but what would you say to my audience to give them a perspective, to not look at what is being bandied about as horrific failure here? How can they take where they are right now and move forward so that we can make a shift into being what we really can be and not buy in to the thought of failure? There's no new opportunity.
Well, an exercise that I'd really like to challenge your readers and your listeners to do is really to understand about the relationships they have, to do like a relational audit, that the people in their life, the customers, their employees, their clients, their shareholders, their board members, the people that are close to them, I'd like them to write down their names. Pick 25 people in your life that are the most important to your business, and then evaluate each one of those names and rate them. I talk about the 5 levels of relationships in my book, 5 floors of relationships, and the first floor being very transactional and superficial, and the 5th floor being authentic and genuine and lasting. But each time these customers, employees, and people hear from you, it's because you want something from them? Are you trying to upsell them or sell something to them? How well do they know you? How well do you know them? Do you know their family names? Do you know their wife's names, their kids' names, their husband's names? I mean, do an audit about how well you know people, how authentic you are, how transparent you are. And if you surround yourself with transactional people, you're going to have a transactional business, a transactional life. It's very superficial and shallow. But if you surround yourself with people that you have a genuine interest in helping and advancing and serving, people are going to serve you, and you're going to have a heck of a lot more successful business. But most importantly, you're going to have a lot happier life.
Tommy Spaulding has been my guest today. His book, It's Not Just Who You Know. It's, I think, excellent reading. And the reason I feel it's excellent reading is because it makes you think. He gives you tools to work with, but it's up to you to take on that positioning of responsibility and accountability for yourself. He believes you can transform your life, your organization, whatever it is that is your priority, into turning or by turning colleagues and contacts into lasting, genuine relationships. Remember, life is about people. Relationships are a very, very important key along with trust. And I like your quote, and I'm going to close with this. John Wooden, you have in here, talent is God-given, be humble. Fame is man-given, be thankful. Conceit is self-given, be careful. Tommy Spaulding has been my guest, and his book, It's Not Just Who You Are, go to his website, TommySpaulding.com, TommySpaulding.com. This is Donna Seabow. Tommy, thank you for being my guest. We are going to be taking a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Seabow. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Seabow is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And our telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. Now, that's our worldwide toll-free number, and I invite you to give us a call. And if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to gift you with that. Again, 888-815-9756. Now, I do want to say, if you have a story about a paranormal experience, I don't care if you've seen a ghost or if you've had an out-of-body experience, whatever it might be, maybe you walking the ground somewhere and had someone appear in front of you, whatever your story is, I'd love to get it, and you can send it to me via email, because I'm putting material together for a book, and my goal is to aim for 100 stories of the paranormal. And I'm interested in your story, because it's your personal experience. And if you'd like to be included in this book, just send your story to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And we'll put you in the file. I am almost at 50, and our deadline for receiving the stories will be January the 1st, 2011. So get that off to me, because I really, really would love to be able to include your story in this publication. I know we've got a caller. Let me give out the phone number again, because if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Annette from Alaska.
Hi, Annette. Where are you in Alaska?
In Anchorage.
In Anchorage. Hey, any snow falling yet?
Not yet. It should be here any day.
Woohoo! I mean, it was snowing when I was up in Fairbanks a couple of weeks ago. And, oh, it was so pretty. Just absolutely beautiful. But, of course, Fairbanks always gets the snow before Anchorage does. I think typically
right.
That's the way it is. And they can keep the real, real cold temperatures. I've been up there when it's been 70 below. Thank you very much. I don't think you've got any kind of underwear on this planet that keeps you warm enough. You need to have a nice mink coat to wrap yourself up into to keep warm in those temps. Okay, hon, let's get down to business with you, Annette. First thing I'm looking at is the word diligence. You must stay focused and concentrated in your direction that you want to follow. If that means going back to school, dedicating so much time to achieve whatever it is you want, I don't care what it is. You need to have due diligence here because no one is going to be able to do it for you. I am concerned for you a little bit about your health. Because I feel like you get run down very easily and you have a tendency to ignore your own wellness. You need to not do that, hon, because it's important you take care of yourself, that you eat right, you get your rest, and that you have, you know, the right kind of things in your environment that are going to make you feel good about who you are and what you're doing. If you don't give it to yourself, being a martyr for other people just doesn't cut it. Every martyr I've ever known is dead. So you want to make sure you live your life with a sense of energy and purpose. And the dedication and commitment is already there. It's a part of your nature. So I want you to honor yourself and take care of yourself physically because I'm just seeing you too run down. And, of course, that affects you emotionally. That affects you mentally. So take care of yourself. And I know those dark months are coming up in Alaska, too. So be good to yourself. Do the right things to keep yourself well. Do you have a question for me?
Yes. I saw you when you were here in Anchorage on the 16th, and so we had a good discussion, but things have been changing in my relationship with my husband since then, and I wanted to see, where do you see our relationship going?
Well, there is something that's not being brought out into the open, and I don't know what the secret or secrets are. And I think that there has to be clarity and openness, and that is going to enable you to see what you really need to look at with honesty. Now, I don't remember our discussion at all. Whenever I give information to someone, I give it and I release it because there are sometimes choices that we can make that can create change, and that's very important to remember. But I do think there's something here that is hidden, and I think that it needs to be brought out and aired out so that miscommunication, misunderstandings are eliminated. So that there is really, really clarity here. Am I making sense?
Yes.
All right. That is going to set you free from this feeling of, for the lack of a better word, I'll use guilt. There's no guilt here. We have to deal with facts. And we have to have those facts in front of us so we can make a choice and a decision and be at peace with it. Even if we don't want to make a particular choice, we have to look at the facts, not what we assume or what we think. We have to have that honesty. And if that honesty cannot be there, then you really have to look at the essence of the relationship with clarity. Remember what I said at the beginning, it's due diligence. That's going to make the difference. But you don't want to sacrifice yourself and your own well-being without understanding. If you don't keep yourself clear, And if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to have clarity in your decision making. Am I making sense?
Yes.
All right, my dear. You're going to come out of this just fine. But, you know, part of this, I think, is a learning experience and learning to live without fear. That's not an easy thing to do when we're taught to respond just the opposite way.
Now, the other thing that is part of this question with my husband is having children. And the one thing that at my age is whether I'm able to have a child of my own or will I adopt and will he be the father of that child?
Well, that is a decision that you have to look at and you have to ask yourself if this is really what you want. The choice is entirely yours. It's entirely yours. And I don't think that you should just have a child because he wants a child. If you want a child, if this is something that's in your heart that really, really is what both of you want, then that would be good. If it is not, then you need to be honest with yourself about it.
Okay.
Remember, children are not a magic wand for healing cracks in relationships. They're just the opposite.
Right.
Because they're a tremendous responsibility. And that is a choice that you are going to have to make.
Okay.
I want to thank you for your call there.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're more than welcome, Annette. You have a wonderful day, dear. And don't be afraid to be truthful with yourself.
All right. Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome, hon, and you're not alone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. And if you want to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow, I want to let you know who's coming on with me tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Margaret Hawkins. She has written a book about her sister, Barbara, and it's titled How We Got Barb Back. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced having a member of your family affected by a mental illness. I have. It wasn't a real serious thing, but the individual in my family that had a mental illness had a breakdown in their life and in their thinking because they didn't know how to adapt. Well, in Margaret's family, they had to deal with schizophrenia. Now, this is a very unique mental illness and has many different shades to it. So we're going to be talking with her about her sister and this book, and our conversation, I'm sure, will touch your heart as well as your mind. It is absolutely awesome to read it. Now, on Friday, I want to let you know we've got an open mic day, and you're going to be able to call in at any time during the hour. We're going to talk about all kinds of goodies. Remember, Halloween is just around the corner, so I'm going to dig up some ghost stories and, well, maybe I'll be able to cause those hairs on the back of your neck to wiggle a little bit and give you the willies. So let's see what I can come up with for Friday. But also, again, that phone line will be open. And then, of course, over the weekend, I'm going to be publishing up on the BBS website the information about the guests that are going to be lined up for the month of November. We've got some musicians. We've got some wonderful people that are going to be coming on with us. And all you'll have to do is go into bbsradio.com, station one, tack into the Donna Sebo Show, and all of that information will be up by next week, by next Monday. So just know that that's coming up. My newsletter will be coming out as well. And we always have a good recipe or such, and so, oh, I didn't want to forget something. Do you have a special holiday recipe that is absolutely fabulous? I'd love to know what it is. Send it to me via email, and I'll share it with my audience on the air this month. Boy, I had a girlfriend give me some toffee she had made. Oh, it is so good. These are things that for the holidays are just wonderful to be able to cook up. And with the upcoming holidays, of course, on my website, my newsletters, I've shared a number of my special recipes. But I'll be sharing again on the air the recipe for the $500 fudge, and there's a fun story with that. And then there's some other odds and ends that I've come across that I just think are magical for the holidays. So just know that I would love to hear about your recipes and your story about your recipes and how you came about to get them and so on and so forth. It's always fun to share. So send them along to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. I wanted to talk about sleep for a minute, but we'll have to wait until after we come back from this short break. So stay with me. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
I thought I'd share something with you today. Matthew Perry said, "So I'm reading a book on my new iPad, but can't the iPad read it for me? Do I have to do everything? Woohoo! Have we become lazy or what?" It's just amazing. Sleep. I don't know about you, but I find that if I don't get a good night's sleep, I just don't get things done. Why is sleep important? Well, it allows the body to recuperate so that it feels rested, and then your energy levels stay. Also, your body has a chance to heal itself. Remember, if you've done exercise during the day, you've been under a lot of stress, this is the time when all of the cells in your body have a chance to do whatever they need to do to keep you well and to keep you healthy. Now, what they found in research is that more women than men are racking up a sleep debt. Yep. They say 60% of American men snooze for 7 hours or more per night, while only 48% of American women do. Well, I think any woman that is a mom and has kids, and it's always like, gee whiz, we got to finish the laundry, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do the other. And it's just never end. There's always something going on. So it is important to remember that if you take care of yourself, you heard me mention it to a client earlier just when I was chatting, but I mean this most sincerely. I can remember for years when I was so sleep deprived and I wondered why I just felt like I was going around in circles. I wouldn't get things done. Well, if we're honest with ourselves, when we are rested, we really are far more efficient. So turn off the television if you can. Get yourself away from the computer. Give yourself some downtime. And if nothing else, give yourself time just to sit and meditate. Maybe just listening to some music, whatever it takes. But you need to be able to give the body what it needs so that you can re-energize yourself to be that productive person you so very much want to be. And you know, French women believe in beauty sleep. Nearly 25% of French women sleep more than 8 hours a night. And if you don't think that is a beauty tip, let me tell you, fly across country, get about 4 or 5 hours sleep, and then get up for a meeting. Take a good look at yourself in the mirror, and you'll have dark circles under your eye that age you about 5 to 7 years. So ladies, get with it. Take care of yourself. The guys don't have a problem taking naps and snoozing and staying in. You should give yourself the gift of extra sleep. Don't worry about that television show. Tape it if you want to watch it later, but get yourself into that positioning of resting and relaxing so that you can feel better. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. A bit of information in Western Bolivia. There is a 4,086 square mile salt flat. That's a huge, huge area of salt. And people, construction workers, cut bricks of this salt for building. That's right. And beneath all of this salt flat is 5.4 million tons. You're hearing me right, 5.4 million tons of lithium. This is considered to be one of the world's largest deposits of this mineral, lithium, that is crucial for the powering of smartphones and other electronic devices. Now, Bolivia is just beginning to mine this massive mineral reserve, and there's another country that is also beginning to mine their mineral reserves. Can you guess what it is? The country is Afghanistan. In June, it announced the find of a $1 trillion mineral bonanza. And you wonder sometimes why there's so much political activity about certain countries. All you have to do is follow the money, follow what the businesses are doing, what's doing what. Really opens up your eyes. Don't think a lot of the political rhetoric is just talking. There's method behind some of the quote-unquote madness that we see demonstrated. It's not just make-believe. I wanted to also share with you a little bit of trivia about some other things that are going on, but it doesn't look like I'm going to have all the time that I want to do with this. So I think I'm just going to sort of move along and just say to you, when we were discussing earlier, Tommy Spaulding's book, It's Not Just Who You Know, it's very important that we as individuals recognize that not only do we have to be accountable to ourselves, but anybody that we interact with or work with, that would be the same thing as interacting, we need to remember that we have to have a standard. We have to have the standard of what is it that we value. And when you have a standard for yourself, and then you can have an expectation of other people, don't be afraid of being vulnerable. Don't be afraid of saying to someone, this is what my agenda is. This is what I'm looking at. And I honestly don't know about step number 7. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in order, but I don't know what I should do with step 7. Use mentoring with people. You'll find it makes a wonderful support patterning for yourself. We talked about it earlier, and don't forget to put purpose and value as a priority. The money will follow. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful evening. We'll be back here, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.